Well, good evening. Great to be back with you. Really, really good to be back with you. Hello, Zara. How are you? Good. That's great. Great to renew fellowship. Great to hear you, boy. You dark horse. He always stood in the background strumming on guitar, and now he can sing bass and melody. Brilliant. Now, I want you to give a round of applause, please. Andrea has got engaged. Show them your ring, Andrea. Lift your hand up and show them your ring. I'm going to get you about 300 presents out of this. Great to hear. When I got the message that they got engaged, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. And Heather has been listening in from her sick bed because her favourite group is singing tonight. And then you sang her favourite song. So now that her worst preacher's preaching, she'll probably turn off. But sure, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, let's pray together. I know we've prayed a lot, but I just want you to pray. If you're not used to praying, will you just pray now and say, God, I want you to speak to me. I just want you to speak to me. Don't worry about Matilda or Bertie or Patty beside you. Just you ask God to speak to you. Don't care if you've been saved 3 hours or 300 years. I'm only saying that by looking at some of you, but you just pray. Say, God, speak to me. Father, we need you. Oh, God. Father, tonight we long more than anything else for a visitation, a supernatural visitation of the Spirit of the living God. As we've been coming down the motorway tonight, we've been singing, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Oh God, tonight, will you speak in this place? Will you arrest men, women, and young people tonight? Will you bring them into the kingdom? Translate them from the power of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son? Oh God, only you can do this. Thank you tonight for the wonderful family that have been singing to us. I pray blessing upon them. But God, as we meet around your word just now, glorify Jesus. Lift him high tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I don't know if you believe, anybody believe in love at first sight? You purr make me sick. Esther and Trevor, would you believe it? Well, I believe in love. Anybody else believe in love at first sight? What are you screwing your face up for? Well, I believe in love at first sight. I do. And my wee wife, Heather, and I, we have been together now. I need to get this right in case you're screwed up. We have been together now a very long time. A very long time. But boy, I remember the night I met wee Heather. Powerful. Do you remember the cleft? Who remembers the cleft? Who went to the car park after for a bit of crack? Why are you laughing, sir? Well, it was a night after the cleft, though. I'll never forget it. And I was the passenger in a lovely car. It was a blue GSI Aster, and I'm not into cars, but this one was fancy. And I was acting cool. You know the way all the lads lie down like this? With a hand up in the... You know, now it wasn't the days, you know the way all you folk now have got the cars that go, nyeong, poo, nyeong, poo, wasn't them sort of cars. But there I was, and we were driving around, boy, and I was real cool. I was thinner back then, and I had a full head of curly hair that I put behind my ears. A wee bit like yours, believe it or believe it not. And as we drove round the car park, I spied out of my eye a lovely green Frontera Jeep sitting to my left. But I wasn't interested in the Jeep. There was three lovely girls in the Jeep. And as we drew up, you know what boys do? And they drew up and then they go, do you know the way they do that? I don't know why, but my friend did that. And I was like, oh my days, did you actually just do that? But in between the front two seats, like this, was sitting this beautiful girl. I had never saw her in my entire puff before. Now, this is the truth. You can email her the night and ask her if I'm telling you the truth. Word perfect. And I turned to my friend Mark, who turned out to be my best man, and I says, Mark, that's the girl I'm going to marry. I promise you. Never spoke two words to her. And so we drove round a few laps, and of course you pull up and do your nyin, 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 nyin. And then we reversed and opposite, and then the next thing for the next star starts the lights. You know how it is. And eventually, I met Heather Given, and we're together, I think it's 23 years, almost. I think it's 23 years. But boy, do you know what done it? Just one wee look. That's what done it. Well, not from me, by the way. From Heather. But isn't it wonderful? There's power in a look, isn't there? There's power in a look. Do you ever fire dirty looks? Oh, stop lying, the whole audience. Sometimes we fire dirty looks. And what I want to do tonight is very, very simple. Now, you know, it's in the Word of God for the sake of time, because I went on very long this morning and my boys were cross with me on the way home. So, will not be as long tonight. Here's the verse tonight. Isaiah 45, verse number 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Isn't that some verse? Really good, isn't it? Somebody shout hallelujah or something. Darling, you need to shout hallelujah, for I was watching you when you were singing. Boy, you were moving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well done. Now let me quote this again to you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. What a verse. Glory to God. I'm going to preach to you tonight. And I'm going to fly through the Bible in my mind. And I pray that God will give me help and liberty tonight. I've changed this, but I believe it's of the Spirit of God. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the power of a look. The power of a look. Here's the first thing that I want to say tonight. A condemning look. A condemning look. You see, when I read this wee Bible, and I don't want to fire it out. I have it stuck together everywhere, but I don't want to fire it out. But when I go to Genesis chapter number 3, here's what it says. Now the serpent, I'll give you the King James Version, and then that'll keep me right in Hobbit's Cross. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That's what it says. And of course he comes to Eve in the next few verses, and he says to Eve, Eve, did God really say that? Does he ever come to you like that? He always comes like that, you see. He comes with doubt, because what the devil wants to do is to take control of your mind and my mind. And let me say something else, in case you're saved and you think the devil can't touch you. Don't be so stupid. The devil's more after you tonight than before you were saved. Still wants your mind. Still wants to destroy your life. But thank God you're eternally secure. Now, wonderful. And here's the devil, and he comes and he says, Eve, are you sure God said that? She says, yeah. He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The devil comes and he says, not at all. Eve, don't be so silly. You see, God's telling you that, Eve, because if you do eat of it, then you will be like him, God. Now here's the verse. Genesis 3, verse number 6. Now when the woman saw. Wow. You see, it was just a look. And she looked at the tree, and the devil had planted the seed of doubt in her mind. And all of a sudden, the look made her condemned. She was condemned. Now let me give you something else tonight. If you go to the book of Genesis and flick over a few pages. Now let me get you this right. Oh, aye. Where do you hear this? Genesis 19. Do you remember the angels come to Lot at evening time? And the angels are coming to warn him. But let's go down the chapter about Genesis 19 and verse number 17. Here's what it says. The message is this. Escape for thy life. Look not behind you, neither tarry in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. But do you know what it says in verse number 26? But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Wow. Just one look. Just one look, and she's condemned. And I want to say to you all tonight, that's the way sin starts. It starts with the eyes. It's just a look. And I'm so glad Justin, my wee friend Justin's coming. Trevor's right. Some of you might know him if you watch the news. He was the guy that got back his military sword recently. Did anybody see that? No. Wonderful. He actually sold his military sword that he was presented by the Queen to fund his gambling. And he's coming here to tell you what God means to him. But you know what he's going to say to you? It all started with just one look. Justin Rees Larkham never thought when he opened up that message and got this free bet, he never thought that he would lose his business, his cars, his home, and his wife. He never thought that. You see, because the devil comes to you, and you young people tonight, this is the way he comes. And he'll come to you and he'll say to you, oh boy, do you know that Samsung Galaxy that you've got? It's brilliant. Go to your bedroom tonight. Nobody will ever know if you look up the porn sites. Nobody. And it all starts with just one look. You're condemned. Let me bring you over. Genesis 19. Let me bring you over to another one. Just to prove this point. Joshua chapter number 7. Do you remember that story? And they've just conquered and God's given strict commands to the children of Israel. And God says to them, listen, you're not to take any of the spoils of war. Don't touch it. Don't take any of it. But you'll read the story that sin comes into the camp and God's blessings removed from the camp and they've got to find out why. They've got to find out why. And so it comes in Joshua 7, verse number 21, when they approach this man called Achan, they say to Achan, Achan, what is the sinful thing that you've done? Do you want to know what he says? You read this. Joshua 7, 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold worth 50 shekels in weight. I saw it. And I took it. And it's now buried in the floor of my tent. Now I'm not even going to tell you tonight, but you should know if you read your Bible what happened to Achan and his family. Devastating. And it all started with a look. What about David? I referred to him this morning. And I'd be amazed at this amongst us evangelical Christians. I could be wrong here. I've been wrong before. Don't know when it was, but it was wrong. No, I'm only joking. But I think, even though we love to quote Psalm 23... Why we love it. And we love to sing, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And we love to read the Psalms, a psalm a day keeps the old devil away. And we love to read all this. But I reckon if David came to most of our churches in Northern Ireland, guess what? You wouldn't let him be your Sunday school teacher. Mm-mm. No, you wouldn't. Even though you quote him, and you sing about him, and you love him, because David committed adultery. And you know what we're like in Northern Ireland? Oh no, we're judge, jury, and the whole lot. And David not only committed adultery, but David sent Uriah the Hittite out to the heat of the battle to get killed. He was involved in murder. Do you want him in your Sunday school now to teach your kids? Really? But you know what I love in Acts chapter number 13? Here's what God says. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Wow. Now maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight. Listen, I've been there. Maybe you're a Christian tonight and you're on your knees literally and you're thinking to yourself, I can't go on. They ridicule me. They absolutely torture me. And I just feel that I'm useless to God. Listen, do you know what Proverbs says? Though a righteous man falls 7 times, guess what? He gets back up again. Can I say to you tonight that have fallen, please listen to me. If you've fallen and you feel there's no hope, get back up again. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Let me quote you this quickly. I'm keeping an eye on that clock. Brother, will you put that clock back to 7? Thank you. Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And here's the story. I think it's verse 2. I'm near sure it's verse 2. And David arose off his bed at evening time. And he went upon a walk. He went on a walk upon the roof of the king's house, his own house. And while there on the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And she was beautiful to look at. David, how did it start for you? This is the man after God's own heart. You'll remember that, won't you? David, how did it all start for you? It all started with a look. Just a look. David, if only you had have called the chariots. If only you went to war where you should have been. Boy, hindsight's wonderful, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. But it all started with a look. And it took Nathan the prophet to come and confront him about the wee story about the sheep and the rich man and the poor man. And then David gets all angry. And Nathan just goes to him, "Thou art the man." And you know what I love? Oh, well, you read it when you go home. I don't have time tonight. You read it when you go home. Psalm 51. This is David after it all. Can I suggest a wee thing? Please don't scold me. Those of you that love the King James Version, will you not scold me now? Please don't scold me. I preach out of it. But let me give you a wee suggestion. Read Psalm 51 in the Message Version. It'll blow your mind. In the Message Version. It's lovely. But let me give you it in the KJV. Here's what David says. "Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. O God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now let me give you a wee bit of the Message Version. Do you know what it says? The Message Version says this. "God, put my feet into tap dancing songs again." Isn't that lovely? "Let these bones rejoice again, God." Listen, I'm only here tonight to encourage you. Am I speaking to a backslider? Now, a backslider is someone that hasn't read their Bible today or prayed. You do know that. It's as simple as that. If you say you're a Christian and you haven't spent time with God today and prayed today, you're on the road to backsliding. You are. Listen, if you feel worthless tonight, if you feel absolutely at rock bottom tonight, and you know how that this message is speaking to your heart, and you know, young man, tonight, that you're slipping away off to look at old dirty pornography, and you think no one sees you, and it's killing you, and it's eating you with guilt, and it's eating you with shame, listen tonight. Bring it out into the open. Bring it out into the open. I'm so thankful. I've got about 4 boys. Not Tara. I could count them in one hand. I have about 4 boys, 4 men, that I can go and spill my heart out to. It's called an accountability team. 4 of them. It's hard to imagine, but you wouldn't trust too many, more than 4 to be fair. But what you need is someone to be accountable to. Where you can go and say, "Do you know what, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling with this. And I can't tell anybody because I think they'll judge me." In Jesus' name tonight, you can be free. Now quickly, a condemning look. Let me say something very quickly about a challenging look. A challenging look. I was reading this afternoon. Heather was a wee rascal this afternoon. She trapped me. And she says, "Darling," she had me trapped like this. I hope she's watching, because I have a sore back out of it. But she trapped me like this, and she says, darling, you are going nowhere tonight. I want you to stay with me. I says, Trevor Glanders will shoot me if I don't go down the road. But I was reading this behind her back. Do you remember the bold Peter? Lord, though all men forsake you and leave you, I'll never do it. Oh dear. How must he feel? Luke 22. The cock crows. And Peter what? Remembers, I've denied the Lord three times. That's what he said I would do. That's exactly what he said I would do. But you know what it says in Luke 22, verse number 61? Then Jesus looked at Peter. I want you to picture this. Now I know I spoke this morning from my heart. And I mean this with all of my heart. Will you just make sure you're saved? Please. Please make sure you've got this. Please. It's not about filling a card in. It's not about walking the aisle. It's not about raising your hand in some meeting. It's about an inward change. It's about the Holy Spirit coming and taking residence in your life. It's about no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And here's Peter. And I've hit him. I've let him down. And Jesus just looks at him. Doesn't speak. Just looks. What a challenging look. I want you to grasp this tonight. You have not a clue what's in Mark Taylor's heart. I've sat in some meetings with some believers as they've discussed some other crater fallen. And they're sitting tut-tut-tutting. You know what the Bible says? Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can I tell you all tonight, you don't know your own heart. You don't know. I've sat in McGilligan prison with pedophiles, good businessmen. Men that started out with everything at their feet. And they tell me, Mark, do you know what happened? I just looked at the top shelf. That was it. And I didn't think I would ever abuse my daughter or my granddaughter. I didn't think it. Do you know why I love speaking to people like that? Wait till you hear this. I could nearly come down and hug you all. I want to tell you this. I came not to call righteous people, but sinners to repentance. Isn't that lovely? Pedophiles can get saved. I can prove it, for it's in our own family. I can prove it. They can get saved. Transformed. Drug addicts can get saved. And they'll never have to inject another thing into their veins. Alcoholics can get saved. Now, Christian, as the Lord looks in your heart tonight, it's a challenging look. Answer it honestly. Are you the real deal? Are you the real deal? I'm cross with that boy at the back. He didn't put it, I think he put it forward. Condemning look. A challenging look. But let me tell you something quickly about a compassionate look. I love this. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. What do you hear? Verse 17. And when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling before him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and said, why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. You know them. Here's what he says. All of these things I have kept from my youth. Wow. Boy, if ever a good living man deserved to get into heaven, he does. He's kept them all. Now get this. Mark 10, verse number 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Let me translate this into a different version for you. Then Jesus, fixing his eyes steadfastly upon him, loved him. I want you to know tonight, I'm a very compassionate creator. If you don't know that by now, I love hugging people. And last night, Heller called me into the room. I don't know if you watched it. I didn't really. But Heller was watching it, and she's sick, and I didn't want to scold her. But she was watching that silly thing with Simon Kyle. Now, you have let yourselves down, by the way. But she brought me in to see a lovely blonde-haired lady. Did you see it? And the two wee kids. Do you remember that? And the wee boy had long blonde hair too. Do you remember? He was lovely in wee shorts. Well, she brought it in. And of course, when the lady sang the song, the wee boy and all came running on. Well, I was crying like a baby. And I tried to sniffle behind Heller. She says, "Darling, you're so soft, aren't you?" I says, "Darling, the same onions that I cut earlier for the dinner tomorrow." But isn't it lovely to meet someone that's full of compassion, isn't it? That can say to you, "I love you. I really love you." I want you to know something tonight. Jesus really loves you. He really, really loves you. And he looks upon all of you tonight, and he wants you to understand, just like he looked and fixed his eyes upon this man, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I want you to understand, don't go out of here and into your wee house tonight and close the door and say, "Nobody loves me." Because Jesus does. He loves you so much. Have you experienced it? Compassionate look. Oh, can I have a couple more minutes, brother? Thank you. I looked at you for I thought you'd say yes. Let me say something about a changing look. Trevor, all the best, brother, tonight in your meeting. And when you're finished with that jacket, leave it off at our house. He sickens me. Is that sin? Listen. Aren't you glad some Christians are going to get changed? Eh? Aren't you glad? Some of them you can hardly get on with. But they're going to be changed. You see, to live above with saints we love, well, that will then be glory. But to live below with saints we know, that's another story. You're right, brother. Isn't that true? Listen. Would you hear this? 1 John 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? Because we shall see him as he is. Listen, am I speaking to someone and you've limped in here tonight with a bad hip? There's a change coming. Is your teeth like the stars when they come out at night? Listen, there's a change coming. Oh, get a hold of this. There's a change coming. Do you know what 1 Corinthians 15 says? Behold, I show you a mystery. If you're following this or taking notes, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible. And guess what? We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, so that when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that which was written. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now somebody shout hallelujah after this one. But thanks be unto God who giveth us victory. You're halfway to Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Hey, Christian, you're going to be changed. Heather says to me the other day, when she was in the Royal, she says, Darling, I have no face cream. And so, I set off to buy her face cream. Well, I went into the On Boots. Anti-aging, anti-wrinkle, anti-crease. I thought it was fabric softener. Anti-this, anti-that, anti-the-other thing. And there was all these ladies. You ever been in Debenhams? You ever been in Debenhams? They're all sitting when you go through the door. They're getting their makeup done. And I brought her back two tubs just to be sure, to be sure. Do you know what I says to her? I says, darling, one of these days you're not going to need that anti-wrinkle. You're going to be changed. You're going to be like him. It's lovely, isn't it? Now I went over the time. Brother, two more minutes. Thank you. Changing look. But let me say something very quickly, and I'll not speak long on this. What about a chilling look? Revelation 1 verse 7 says this, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Can I ask you tonight, if you're not saved, how are you going to feel? How are you going to feel the moment you see him? How are you going to feel when he stretches out his hands, shows you the scar on his side, shows you the prints of the nails in his feet? He says to you, why did you not come to me? I did this all for you. Do you know the last face you'll see? His face. The one tonight in Abbott's Cross that can be your saviour. You'll see his face. That breaks my heart every time I read it. Revelation 20. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. If David Beckham never gets saved, he'll be there. And if the wee alcoholic in Shaftesbury Square in Belfast never gets saved, he'll be standing shoulder to shoulder with David Beckham. There'll be no degrees then. Every man, every woman will be stripped bare. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it. This is the second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. But let me come to this verse, Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Let me give you the proper word. Your Bible will say cast. That's too polite. The original word is wallow. And it means hurled. Hurled into the lake of fire. Tonight, listen, he can be your saviour. Because I want to finish with this as a curing look that you can take. John 3.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Can I ask you tonight to take away a big look? The Calvary. That's the cure. That's the cure. Tell me, if I never meet you down here again, will I meet you up there? Will I? You can be sure of it tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Thank you.